This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in the third book of the Psalter with Psalm 78. Tell the coming generation, they forgot his work, the bread of heaven, the quail, and provoking the Holy One of Israel. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
To God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O gracious God, your servant and apostle James was the first among the 12 to suffer martyrdom for the name of Jesus Christ. Pour out upon the leaders of your church that spirit of self-denying service, that they may forsake all false and passing allurements and follow Christ alone, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The epistle appointed for St. James the Elder, Apostle, is written in the Romans, the 8th chapter. Brethren, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We are able." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard it, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and ministered to us also for us in our conscious life. He suffered.
In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. And Jesus said, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized." More than a warning to James, Jesus knew what was coming for him. He knew how and when James was going to die. James and his brother had requested of Jesus to sit at his right and his left. Not such a humble request, nor did it sit well with the other 10. And Jesus would use this opportunity to teach his disciples what a true servant looks like, as one who came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. We know this verse well from Mark 10, but sometimes I think we often forget the context. In Luke's gospel, Jesus sent messengers ahead into the village in Samaria, and the people did not receive Jesus very well. And James and John found this very bothersome. And of course, as we know, right, the brothers had compassion for these people, right? Wrong. Luke records that their response to the rejection of Jesus is less than compassionate. "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Does not sound like compassion and mercy to me at all. Apparently, Jesus doesn't like their response either. And his response to them is not favorable, to say the least. You see, Jesus didn't rebuke those people in the village who did not receive him. No, he rebukes James and John. I know such accounts from Scripture do not seem fitting for such a day when we are supposed to be holding James the Elder in such high esteem. In the Apology, in Article 21 regarding the saints, we are told to give thanks for them, that the saints are a source of strength for our faith, and that the saints, such as James the Elder, are to be imitated. We are well acquainted with the flaws and the faults of Peter, but James wasn't perfect either. And as you recall, James the elder was one of the three that Jesus would take in those places the others did not get to go, such as the Mount of Transfiguration and even to the garden to pray on the eve of his death. However, even in this situation, we are told that James could not stay awake either. It may seem strange on a day such as this to point out James' shortcomings instead of highlighting his deeds that we should seek to imitate. But I would say to you, we must remember that these men were not perfect. Often paired with his brother John, God called these men, these sons of thunder, from their fishing boat to follow him. And as fallible as any of us are, they were sinners as well. Sinners conceived from the same sinful line as mankind from Adam. Poor, miserable sinners such as we are. And yet, the Son of God chooses them to follow him. And he taught them for 3 years. And then he sent them to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins, to make disciples of all nations, and baptism, and to teach, but also to take up their cross, to deny themselves, and to suffer and even die for him. And giving their life for him, they would gain it. For James the elder, his death would be much earlier than the rest, and definitely earlier than his brother John. Acts 12 records, about that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Killed by the sword, beheaded. Is this a death fitting for someone who so faithfully confessed Christ? And even so, sadly, we hear that James' death brought that king favor with those amongst who despised those who belonged to the church. Did you catch that wording? Those who belonged to the church. Scripture records James as being the first of the disciples to be martyred. And as I quote, part of the church. You know, if I were to ask my confirmands this question, who wants to die like James, how many do you think would answer in the affirmative? And yet in confirmation, this is the question that is asked of them to give answer. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? As our Savior experienced death as such, and his disciples and many who came before us, should we expect any different? To be faithful and steadfast in your confession is not just for pastors. It's for all. It's for all who belong to the church, for those who are in the body of Christ. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Each and every Christian takes up his or her cross, denies themselves, and should be prepared to suffer for Christ, even to death. And for James the elder, it was by the sword. Jesus called James. He used a poor, miserable sinner, one who took up his cross and was willing to die faithfully for Christ. The imitation, the thanksgiving, the strengthening of faith comes from Christ, who had sent his Holy Spirit to James to give such a faith and keep him in that faith. And he promises, and he does the same for each of you. Even amid a day such as this, where we hold this saint in high regard, it's still about Christ and his work. It's interesting to note, if you think about it for a moment, James being arrested and killed did not have the comforting words that we have from Romans chapter 8. James did not benefit of knowing these words, as the letter wasn't written till years after his death. But you and I have these comforting words from Christ. Listen again to just a few parts and how they bring comfort to those who belong to the church. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And while James didn't have these words, he had that truth, didn't he? Even though he died by the sword, he didn't just endure, he more than conquered. And what James did have was a Savior who spoke to him and said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And he had those words, lo, I'm with you always. James had the resurrected Christ who defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil. James didn't just only have the Old Testament, the Psalms, the prophets, if you will, but the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises was there right with him, who bled and died for him, whose atoning work completely took away James' sins and took away yours as well. James knew the resurrected Christ, the Messiah, bodily resurrected and ascended, the one who will come back to judge the living and the dead. And certainly James had the Holy Spirit that gave him faith and kept him in that faith. And while it had not been written yet, I think James is a prime example of Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You have all of these, and maybe even more. All the promises of Christ that James took with him in his suffering and death, you have as well. Christ is still very present with you in his means of grace. Yes, you may indeed suffer by belonging to the church, and you might even die for the sake of Christ, as James did. But we have the eternal Son of God, the everlasting, the faithful one, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus Christ, who forgave James all of his sin, is the same Christ who died and whose blood was shed for your sins as well, that you may be his own and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. I know we are separated by nearly 2,000 years, but today you will receive the same thing that James did, the true body and blood of Christ for your forgiveness. And you know that where there is forgiveness, there is life and salvation. James faithfully gave his life and died in confession of Christ, and we truly do thank God for saints such as James the Elder. But more importantly today, you will take upon your lips all the benefits that James and those who are before us received in faith. Forgiveness through the true, redeeming, life-giving body and blood of Christ, the faithful one who gave himself up for you. Amen.
In our prayers, we give thanks together with Ethan and Miranda Baumbach for the gift of a son, Asaph Cedar. We also join Brandon and Shaylee Streaks at the birth of their son, Noah Benjamin. Let us pray to the Lord God for the church, for the world, and for all in need. For Christians throughout the world who are persecuted for the faith, that they, strengthened through the example of the Apostle James, may remain steadfast in the unity of our confession that Jesus is Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those who are elected and appointed to lead and guide this nation, state, and community, that by their governance we would be led to unity of purpose and encouraged to live in harmony with one another, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the bountiful fruits of the earth, for good weather, and for thankfulness for the beauty and many resources of God's creation, that we may use them rightly in the service of others, let us pray to the Lord. For the poor, the persecuted, the unborn, and the sick, for the lonely, the tempted and troubled, and the homebound, for the dying and those who grieve, for those who travel, for all who are in danger, and for those who are in any need, that they may be relieved, comforted, and protected, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of new life granted in the births of Asaph and Noah, that God would grant them new life in the waters of holy baptism and crown all their days with his mercy and grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Giving thanks for all those who have died in the faith, that we may be united with them in a confession of the true faith, the hope of the resurrection of the dead, and eternal life with Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers, for you yourself have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us, which you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and give your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You once proclaimed your saving promise to the prophets of Israel, and by the apostles and evangelists, you published the good news of your saving promise, fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Grant that we, being instructed in the doctrine of the blessed apostles and evangelists, may faithfully eat his body and drink his blood and declare his salvation to the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
This true body and blood strengthen and preserve you, steadfast in true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.